Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. I want to speak on a sensitive subject today. I've preached 3 or 4 sermons on heaven. And today I'm going to speak on the contrast of heaven. That's a place called hell. Miss Rose was in the trio today, and her husband Don's at the back, and he's going to have a stress test on Friday. Pray that all goes well there. Rita's supposed to get some results this week about her test she had run. We looked at where heaven is. Several people and the Lord Jesus Christ were all caught up into heaven. We know it's up. We believe it is outside the realm of the planets and the stars. We have the first heaven, which is our atmosphere, the second heaven, which is outer space. Paul said he knew a man that was caught up into paradise with the Lord in the third heaven. And so we believe heaven is beyond. We know how to get there only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. We know what heaven's like, what the Bible describes it as. It's a glorious and a beautiful place. Precious stones in the foundations of the New Jerusalem, gates of pearl, the street of gold. It is a glorious place made by God. But as the ages pass, those who are in heaven today, or if the Lord comes and takes us to heaven today or tomorrow, it will not be permanent. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that God will create where we will dwell with him forever and forever. Now, last week we looked at the church as the body of Christ and the church going to heaven in the rapture and what the church is. We looked at the different metaphors that are used for the church. Our place in it as members are like the members of our physical body. We are members of the body of Christ. And we saw where the church will be in heaven in the future as the bride of Christ, and in the far future of the new heaven and the new earth with the Lord in that position. We do not negate Israel in any way. Israel has a special place with God, and the church has a special place with God. The Jewish people, if they get saved and baptized, become a part of the church, whether they are Jew or Gentile. And that's part of the mystery, that we'd be together in the same church together. Now, we look at a place today called hell in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 27. Jesus said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. He wanted this message spread. Verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Turn over with me, if you would, into Matthew chapter 25. I mentioned to you while you're turning that the Old Testament refers to hell also. That awful place that we know as hell is mentioned in the Old Testament. In Psalm 9 and verse number 17, David said that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 30, Jesus spoke about it without using the word hell. He said, there would come a time when they would cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 41, he said in the Olivet Discourse, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, as he compares the nations and how they treat people depending upon their belief, and he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Christ made it clear that hell was prepared for Satan and the fallen angels, but men who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will go there, because of their own sin. Let us have a word of prayer. Trey, can you slip out and come here just a moment while we get ready to pray? I want us to pray and ask the Lord to help us and meet our need. Bob Reed, will you lead us and ask God's help in prayer? Amen. Thank you very much. This subject of hell burdens me. It's part of why I've continued to be a pastor for 38 years. I don't want to see people go to hell. I want to preach the gospel. I want to show them there's a better way. I want people to be saved. I want people to be delivered from the penalty of their sin and the power of their sin. I want people's lives to be changed and live for God and enjoy heaven for all eternity, instead of going to hell in that awful place. Turn with me now to Luke, if you would, in chapter 16. Many of you Bible believers knew that's where I was going eventually anyway. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He's referring to the word of God. They have the Bible. In that day they had Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, but they did not have yet the New Testament. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and the poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. It was because of their faith and their obedience unto God, and the comparison Jesus is making is how this man who had nothing in life now is in the glories of the Lord. And this man who had everything in life did not receive the Lord. He now is in hell in judgment and punishment. Hell is referred to as by adjectives, an everlasting fire, a real place of fire and torment. Many go there. Revelation 21:8, the lake of fire is eternal death. Revelation 20:15, it'll be called the lake of fire in that day. Hell today, lake of fire in the future. Isaiah 33 said it's a devouring fire. Revelation 21 refers to a place along with hell called the bottomless pit. And that is where Satan will be chained for 1,000 years while the kingdom goes on upon the earth. And then he'll be brought up and cast into the lake of fire after that. Matthew 13 refers to it as a furnace of fire. Luke 16:23, it is a place of torment. In Revelation 14:11, it's a place where they have no rest. In Matthew 25:46, a place of everlasting or eternal punishment. In Jude 13, a place of blackness and darkness forever. In Revelation 16:10, a place where they gnaw their tongues. In Matthew 25:41, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. a place where they do not want others to come to. Listen to hell today. Listen to the rich man in hell. He doesn't want his five brothers to come to this place of torment. They in hell don't want anybody else to have to come to that awful place where they are to experience what they're experiencing. I've experienced a few terrible pains in my life that I hope nobody else would. I was wounded in Vietnam in the chest and the leg, collapsed both my lungs, penetrated both my lungs, and I almost bled out. I almost suffocated. My right leg was almost taken off. I was in a lot of pain. They moved me from one hospital to another after surgery on one lung in an ambulance, which is like a bread truck on the beaten up roads in Vietnam, and would not give me any pain medication because they didn't want me to go into shock. I've experienced pain. I know what it's like. I've had kidney stones. I've had surgery four times for kidney stones. I've had attacks. I had three kidney stones in my left kidney for a matter of 2 years before I could get them to take them out. And then when they took them out, they tried about three different procedures to get them out. Finally had to cut me open and go in and get them. I've had a little pain. I've had some experience. I know what it's like to suffer. I don't want anybody to have a kidney stone. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I don't want somebody to go through being wounded like I was wounded. I'm thankful to God I survived, and I'm thankful to God that I didn't lose my limbs and things like that, but so many do in war and in the regions where they have these kind of problems. What an awful place hell is. I've heard of hell all my life. I believed in it. I believed it was real. But the first sermon I ever heard preached just on the subject of hell was after I got saved. I broke my ankle roller skating with a church group in December of 1975, and I had a full-length cast all the way to my hip, and I was on crutches, and I went to a Sword of the Lord conference, and John R. Rice preached a sermon on hell, and he wept the entire 40 or 45 minutes of that sermon that he preached. He wiped tears from his eyes the entire time because of thinking of people he's known and witnessed to in his life who, unless God in the last moments made a change in them, went to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, today, hell is an awful place to think about. It is terrible to think about our loved ones could go to hell. Think about people we work with and know and are related to and meet and get to know. We don't want anyone to go to that awful place, a terrible place. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. And 234 times, judgment and hell are referred to in those 260 chapters. We have here the story of the rich man. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us this story. The rich man died and in hell lifted up his eyes. The word hell, translated from the Greek language, we believe in that position, is the word Hades. Hades, Gehenna, the Old Testament, Sheol, can refer to the grave or the place of the departed and various things of that nature. But Hades refers to the place where the rich man was, and we find something different there. It isn't heaven that's being spoken of. It's paradise. And in hell, there were the chambers of paradise where Abraham and all those who died who were believers, but the Lord Jesus Christ had not yet died and resurrected from the dead, were kept in paradise with Abraham. They could see hell, Gehenna, the place of everlasting fire and torment. They could see the rich man there. The rich man could see them, but they could not cross from one place to the other. There was a great gulf that was fixed between them. And the rich man is there in Hades, the abode of the dead, and paradise. Jesus descended into paradise and declared his victory when he died on the cross and was buried and took our sins away. And then when he arose from the dead, he took paradise with him when he went back to heaven. After 40 days, he appeared alive from the dead on earth, and he took paradise to heaven with him. The New Testament tells us Paul wrote of a man, which we believe was Paul, and he said that Paul was stoned and left for dead, and the Bible says he gloried in a man who was caught up into paradise in the third heaven. He saw and heard things that he could not repeat, were not lawful for him to say. And so paradise today is in heaven with the Lord. The Bible says today if a believer dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your spirit leaves your body and you go to be present with the Lord, and your body is buried in the ground, and one day it will be resurrected. Hades was that place before the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The rich man is in torment. It is another torment that he could see paradise. He could see what he was missing. He could see their enjoyment, but he could know the torment of the fires that he was in. He sought mercy from Father Abraham, but he was praying to the wrong person. He was praying in the wrong place, and it was too late for him to ask for mercy. His time was already over. Verse 25 of Luke 16 says, remember, that remembrance is a part of the torture. Remember all the opportunities that they had and said no to God. You're sitting here today, and if you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you leave this place lost, there's no guarantee you'll have another opportunity. And God wants you today to come to Him and be saved and delivered from the penalty of your sins and escape the awful things of hell that lie ahead for those without Christ. None of us know what a day will bring forth. Can you imagine those 17 families with their children there? It went off that morning, no idea. I mean, a future plan for their kids, saving for college, you know, playing sports, hoping for a scholarship, all kind of things you can imagine of kids in school at that age. And that's too late. Did they take them to church? Did they give them the gospel? Did they set a godly example for them? How many of them were saved? We have no way to know. But I tell you, it makes me want to work harder that if it ever happens in our neighborhoods and in our schools, that those kids would know Christ as their Savior, and secondly, have His protection, and thirdly, be going to heaven if they do die. Remember in hell, those remember they followed the wrong person. They listened to someone who told them what they wanted to hear without being saved. Remember, here's another one. Remember, you did this to yourself. Tom, our friend with the stoffer, with the oxygen all the time in the tank, he'll be here tonight and Wednesday night probably. Tom has told me at least 5 times, "Preacher, you know the worst thing is I did this to myself. All those years of smoking cigarettes, all those years, and now he's got emphysema very bad. He's got COPD very bad. He's on oxygen. He can barely get out of his pickup truck parked at the door. He can't walk all the way in and sit at a pew. He's got to stop halfway in between and wait until he gets enough oxygen and breath to make it the rest of the day and then fall down in a pew to sit because he can't breathe and he's out of air and he's suffering. And he tells me over and over, the worst part of this is I did this to myself. I was told, I was warned, I read the package, warning, but I didn't listen. The rich man in hell thought about his 5 brothers. I would imagine anybody who suffered doesn't want their loved ones to suffer, experience what they've experienced. This man wanted someone to go to them, but the problem was that if they rejected the word of God, it wouldn't help them if one could come back from the dead and warn them about hell. As a matter of fact, Jesus rose from the dead. Revelation chapter 1 said he conquered death and hell and holds the keys of them. And yet the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the nation of Israel as a whole still did not receive him as their Messiah or believe upon him in order to be saved. People we know, loved ones, may already be in hell, some who've died, some that we know are living a life that they have no testimony of salvation. Hell is not the end. Hell is the jail of torment and fire that men go to today when they die. But there's coming a day where they will be resurrected and be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The lake of fire is a place where the beast and the false prophet and Satan will be cast, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever, the Bible says. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 at the last judgment. Hell today and the lake of fire in the future, they have nothing to look forward to but an eternity of what they're going through. Now, after Christ arose from the dead, he took paradise into heaven with him. My friends, there is no such thing as a second chance after you die. There is no place called purgatory in the Bible. There is no promise of another opportunity after death. The old country term, no do-overs, my friend. You know Christ is Savior before you die, or there'll never be a second chance. Nowhere are we told to pray for the dead or to try and pay their way out. There are those churches that have held people prisoners with beliefs that they control salvation rather than other churches, and that you can buy your lost people out of purgatory if you pay enough money and you pray enough prayers. I want to say to you, that's a lie right out of hell and the devil. It's not in the Bible, and that's men's teaching and not God's teaching. No second chance after we die. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there, I'm going to do that rapidly and read Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, I believe, is where I'm going. Yeah. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Over in verse 21, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, 13, 14 reveals more people go to hell than go to heaven. It is a broader road that leads to destruction. It is a narrow way that leads to life everlasting. There are many people who consider themselves religious. They go to church. They're members. They do religious works. They serve charities. They do all kinds of good deeds. But if they don't know Christ as their Savior, he made it very clear, I will say to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. They don't know the Lord, so the Lord doesn't know them as his child. And there is no second chance for forgiveness at that time. All men without salvation in Christ are already condemned in John chapter 3. Many of you know this passage in John 3 and verse number 18. Covered it up. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, praise God. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not based on how good you are, not based on how bad you are. It's based on if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on Christ, you're not condemned. But if you have not believed on Christ, you're already condemned because of your sin nature that you were born with. Verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. All men without salvation are already condemned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In hell, the rich man prayed. In hell, the rich man asked Abraham for just a drop of water. He was praying to the wrong person. He was praying too late. He was praying from the wrong place. He had brothers he didn't want to see come to that awful place. We ought to listen to that. We ought to listen to hell speak. He didn't want his brothers to come to this awful place of torment. I don't want anybody to go to that awful place of torment. I don't care how bad they are, how wicked they've been. I've been bad, I've been wicked, but God in his mercy saved me and forgives me and has cleansed me of my sin and given me everlasting life. I don't have it because I deserve it. I have it because of the grace of God. And so do you. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God if we're saved. But too many won't listen. They won't listen to our pleas. They won't listen to the warnings in the Bible. I said a few moments ago there are 260 chapters in the New Testament and over 200 references to hell and judgment. Could you imagine driving on a road on a trip 260 miles? You folks from Pennsylvania, it's farther than that from here to there, isn't it? If you were driving 260 miles on a road, and on that road there were 243 warning signs that said at the end of this road, destruction. At the end of this road, hell and judgment. You'd be a fool if you didn't get off that road. You'd be a fool if you didn't change your direction. You'd be a fool if you didn't heed the warnings over and over and over, about every mile and a quarter, a warning to you on that road that hell is real and judgment is real. The Lord Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins that we might have eternal life. And God offers it to us freely. Whatever heaven is today, hell is not. Hell is a place of darkness. Heaven is a place of light. Hell is a place of sorrow, and heaven is a place of joy. Do you know heaven rejoices every time a sinner gets saved? That's what the Bible says. Heaven is a place of singing. We'll sing with people from every nation and every tribe and every ethnic background, and we'll sing the songs of praise unto God for his salvation. Place of singing, great singing in heaven. Hell is a place where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They'll gnaw their tongues for the pain. Heaven is a place of a blessed union. We're going to get to see our loved ones that have gone on before. We got men on pictures out there in the hallway who served in this church and have gone on to heaven to be with the Lord. We're going to get to see them again. I can't wait to see Bobby Anglin. I'm sure he's going to fill me in. He always did like tell me what I didn't know anyway, you know, so he'll be able to do all that when I get to heaven with him. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I'm looking forward to seeing all those blessed men, Ray Korn and Dick Hedrick and old Peggy and Nolan Tanner. Peggy followed the church bus out of Twin Lakes Trailer Park to the church when we were on Main Street in a temporary building. She never left. Every service, every Sunday, every Wednesday night, she was here. She knew the Lord as her Savior. She knew she needed to get it in church, so she did. But her husband wasn't saved. And boy, we wrestled with the Lord and wrestled against Satan, and he'd raise his hand at the invitation to pray for him. He wasn't saved, but he wouldn't come. Years and years went by. I'd talk with him. We'd go out to eat together, but he just held off. He just wouldn't get saved. Finally, his mama died. She was a godly woman, Church of God lady from over in Gastonia area, Belmont. And they had her funeral, and I put my arm around Olin as he's looking down the casket, his mama. I said, Nolan, it'd be a terrible thing if you die and go to hell and your mama's in heaven, wouldn't it? She'd want you to be saved. You need to get saved. That Sunday he came down the aisle, received Christ as his Savior. You say, was it just an emotional decision at that point? No, he was the one who drank. And when he got saved, he quit drinking. He didn't drink anymore. Came to church every time the doors were open. He had a different countenance about his face. He had a smile on his face and a joy in his heart because God saved him. He said, "Preacher, you worked hard." I said, "No, I didn't work hard. Jesus worked hard. The Spirit of God worked hard. God's mercy worked hard." And I'm going to get to see those folks again. I'm looking forward to it. But until God wipes all tears away from our eyes, there's going to be people we're going to wonder why they're not here. We're going to be looking for some that won't be there. God gave his son that we might escape. Turn in your Bibles, I'll hurry, in Ezekiel 33. I want to at least get to this. Ezekiel 33. Y'all forgive me, I get chasing stories and forget what I'm doing. You and I have a part in sounding the warning that the lost could be saved. In Ezekiel 33, verse 1, and again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." We are given the job as watchmen to sound the trumpet to warn the people. Verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" In Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." There's coming a day of judgment, verse 7 says. "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool," in Isaiah 1 in verse number 18. Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for his son, and God sent his spirit to draw a bride together for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deals with your heart and with my heart. And there's going to be many that will not make it in. And I'll save that for another sermon. Friends, don't die and go to hell. It's a real place. It's a place of torment. There's no future. There's no second chance. You can know the Lord as your Savior today. Why won't people be saved? They like their lifestyle. They're afraid. There's a whole lot of reasons. None of them are worth your soul, my friend, for all eternity. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't lose your soul today. You're given an opportunity. We got men here that can take the Bible. Ladies can take the Bible with you and show you today from the Bible how you can be saved before you leave this place. Take advantage of it today. If you believe what I believe about hell, you ought to run down to this altar when we give the invitation. Let's stand together. We'll sing a verse. We invite you to come. We'll help you from God's Word. If you know somebody on the verge of hell today and you want to come to the altar and pray for them, you come right ahead when we sing a verse and ask God for mercy and grace and wisdom to know how to witness to them so it won't be too late.